Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Today is Vision Sunday. It's a big day. As I said last night, if you weren't here, I opened up and mentioned that Parkwood was celebrating 100 years of their church being around. 100 years. That's a long time. That's a really long time. Like, I don't know, I'm trying to think, help me out here. What, you know, was that the Model T Ford back in 1923? Like, what were we driving back then? Model T, right? It was a long time ago. That would have been, because you were had, like, the milkman came to your house, right? And dropped off bottles. Like, we're going even beyond that. Like, that's a long time of history. And as I began to hear the stories of how people have been affected, it's just hard not to get excited. The superintendent or the general director was there over all of Parkwood, or all of, the PAOC, Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, had not necessarily had any connection with Parkwood, but he was over all of Canada. But he began to share this story about his wife had a sister, Krista, if I get any of this wrong, wife had a sister in Windsor. And one night, this gentleman went to bed a long time ago. It sounds like it was quite a few years ago. He went to bed, and he woke up in the middle of the night, and he said he could feel darkness in the room. He could feel like literally the demonic in the room, and he just began to pray. He didn't know why he was praying. He just began to pray, whatever this was, and he prayed and prayed and prayed until it finally lifted. And then shortly after that, it must have been towards morning, he got a call from his wife's sister, his sister-in-law. And she said, last night, my husband and I were, I really felt like we needed to give our life to the Lord. And I was trying to read the Bible, and I was trying to find scriptures that, you know, my sister told me about, but it felt like there was this opposition. I didn't know what it was, but I couldn't find scriptures. And she said, all of a sudden it broke. And they gave their life to the Lord. And they said, we need to find a church. He said, well, this is a long time ago. He said, I know of one church in the area that I'd really recommend, and it was Parkwood. And so they went to Parkwood and got established and got grounded in the faith. And I thought, look at the stories, how cool that is. They shared one more. There's a lot, but the other gentleman that was there was the district. He was over the district that they were in of Western Ontario. And him and his wife went to PEI, and they were in PEI at a bed and breakfast, but it sounded like it was big enough to have other couples there. And he said they were having dinner one night, and he was kind of excited and dreading, because he said that conversation always comes up as you get talking, what do you do? And of course, when it got to him, he's like, I have to say I'm a pastor, and everybody's going to get awkward. But he said he was a pastor, and it didn't get awkward. And another couple were there from Windsor, Ontario. And just, you know, were kind of, it sounded like they were interested, but have never been to church. But of course, they knew of one church, and that would be Parkwood, and how much that church had blessed their school, because that church had done things in their school. And he had a chance to, I believe, pray with them and another couple by the sounds of it. And it's funny that you could be across and have impacts like that. And I know for Antioch, we can say the very same thing. There's impacts that we have in Haiti. We have impacts in Ghana, in Africa. We have impacts in Cuba. There are people that have come, I think of our youth conferences where people have come and gone back. I remember one day I was in line at somebody's wedding, and this gentleman, this couple, sorry, came by, and they started to thank me, and they said, just, you don't know, you may not remember me. I just want to thank you because we came to a youth conference of yours, and we're now going into ministry because of it. Yeah, isn't that awesome? And I'm sure there's no doubt in my mind that you have affected people, as Rod was saying. Somebody has affected, you know, you or your generation line, and you're here because of that. And this is the power of the gospel. It's easy to come to church every Sunday and forget that the gospel is active and moving and living. I think of you, Mom. You know, one of the words you're going to hear today is adventure. You're going to hear the word adventure, and might be easier just to grab my phone and look up the definition. You know, I'm a definition person. What year was it, Mom, when you came across? 1957. Is that okay to say? 1957. The word adventure means this: a bold, usually risky undertaking, hazardous action of uncertain outcome. When my mom came across from Holland, it was a risky move for your parents and for you. Coming to a country where you don't know the language, starting your life completely over again. That's risky. I don't know about you, but aren't you thankful that she said yes? You know, she didn't really have a choice. You know, she's going with her family, but it's really cool to know that God had a calling, a risky calling, because it was going to be a woman that would go into a man's territory ministry. But we are here today because a group of people said yes. And God would begin to direct her, you know, through coming to Canada, and she would be a Catholic and she would love the Lord, but she would have encounters with God. And this church is a part of the reason, really, that she and Pastor Claude's on vacation. He would normally be here, just so you know, Pastor Claude's on vacation. Pastor Claude and Pastor Mary Unwin, different ones that said yes to the Lord, and we're here because of it. I'm here because of it. I'm standing as a pastor, good Lord, because of what my mom said yes to many years ago. I was the kid in high school that said, I will never speak in front of people. Honestly. Every year we had those moments where we do those, you know, the horrific high school or grade school plays. I mean, wonderful high school plays. And I would choose the lights. I would choose anything that didn't have a role that had words. And I just wonder if God's up in heaven laughing, going, you're funny. You're really funny. So we're here today. We are 32 years into our journey. Yeah, we can celebrate that. 32 years into our journey. It's actually, we are in our 32nd year. It'll be 33 years starting in December. As a church, yes, as a prayer community, a lot longer than that, but as an official church, 32 years. Here's what's interesting. I'm going to share this at different times. I feel like over the last 6 months or more, the Lord has been like dropping breadcrumbs for me, because we're going to make a big change today, and I'll explain as we go, but the Lord has been dropping breadcrumbs, and today, actually, last 24 hours, I can't tell you how many confirmations I've had, but you know what's really interesting? The number 32, because I thought, what is the meaning of 32? The number 32 is the number of adventure, meaning people on this life path are known to love adventure due to their adventurous nature and adventurous spirit. I thought, here we are, 32 years in, and that actually means adventure. I didn't know that until I looked it up this morning. Interesting enough, I am in my 8th year of ministry as the senior pastor here, lead pastor, and 8 means new beginnings. That's exactly why you picked February the 8th to do the dedication. So there are some new beginnings happening today. But before we get there, would you turn your Bibles to Joshua? Joshua 3. Joshua himself is a fantastic man of courage. But it's interesting, as Steve Schroeder said last night as we were talking. Steve, if you're listening, thank you, brother, for the call. Appreciate it. Last night he gave me a call and encouraged me. And he said, you know, we often think Joshua was strong and courageous, but it's interesting that God had to tell him, I think, 7 times to be strong and courageous. You know, if you have to get told something a lot, like if you have to tell your kids to take out the garbage, it's not because they're taking out the garbage. It's because you want them to take out the garbage and they need to know to take out the garbage. And so Joshua needed to hear, be strong and courageous. So this is Joshua. Now, I want to set the stage. We have Moses that has set the people free. We have the Exodus. We have them coming out of slavery. And I want to, you know, put that to my mom's generation. We have my mom's generation that, if you look back, the charismatic renewal happened in the Catholic Church that affected so many people. I'm curious here, other than, you know, my mom and dad, they'll raise their hands. Anybody else affected by the charismatic renewal in the Catholic Church? Raise your hands. Look at that. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Anybody else? So this is a move of God within the Catholic Church called the Charismatic Renewal, where God literally began to break in the Catholic Church. People went from attending to getting hungry, to doing prayer meetings, to having special meetings. And so there's this freedom that's happening in this generation. I think of my mama as that Moses, who, you know, she is with fear and trembling, being adventurous with a group of people saying, we want God so much. We really do. And then I think of getting to the river. And I know for you, you had to make some big decisions, didn't you? Because, they were okay for a while that all this was happening, but they got to a point where it was like, it's not okay anymore. And I know for you, you had to make a decision. Do we pursue God and continue, or do we go back into where we were? And for them, they said, we can't go back. There's no way we can go back. You know, so there is this forcing to go forward because there's no way we can go back. And so just like the Red Sea, they had to step into the unknown and they crossed this moment where they're like, there is no going back. We need to go forward. And that costs a lot. Relationships and even in the community, it just was difficult. My dad's job was affected. There's a lot of cost to it, but it was like, there is no way to go back. So here we are in Joshua, just so we make a long story short, they wandered for 40 years, and now Joshua takes over. In Joshua 1, it says, my servant Moses is dead. That's not the case. Moses is still around, just to make that clear. But I want to read, I want to pick it up from Joshua, Joshua 3. Joshua 3 says, then Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from Acacia Grove. I want to stop there. It says Acacia Grove and they came to the Jordan. So they've wandered for 40 years. God's done miraculous things. He's kept their clothes whole. He's kept their sandals. They've kept them fed. And now they're coming to the Jordan. Joshua is now the leader. And it's interesting that they're at the Acacia Grove. And I had to look that up because I thought, I wonder what that's like. But the Acacia Grove, if you look it up, it's got these beautiful trees. It's got beautiful yellow flowers. It talks about the fact that there was probably a beautiful stream that ran through this area. And this is where they've been dwelling. And now God's saying, hey, I want you to step into another promise. And I can only imagine what it must have been like to be like, but this is kind of all right. Right? Like we've got really, it actually says that acacia trees are like tropical trees. There's water. They've got everything they need and they're just enjoying this time. And God's like, hey, I need you to move forward. I would like to propose to you that sometimes adventure is more difficult when you don't have anything chasing you. When you have moments where you're like, we have no choice. Do we step forward or do we go backwards into slavery or into religion. But Joshua has this promise, and yet nothing's forcing him to go forward other than the promise. Nothing's calling him to go, hey, you know, there's no army behind them. There's nothing like that. And Joshua has to make the call. Do we step into the unknown or do we stay comfortable where we're at? We read a little more. You guys are so quiet today. Just smile every once in a while. So they came to the Jordan, all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. It was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, verse 3, and they commanded the people saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, and 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know that the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Church, I believe we're at a place where the Joshua generation, we're here, and I've watched what God has done through my mom and the elders, and I've been a part of it. My life has been transformed. I'm married. My kids are involved, and it's a beautiful thing, and you know, there's a time where I thought, you know, it's kind of nice just to, let's rest in the tropical trees. You know, you actually gave a prophetic word about Hawaii. I thought, ooh, that sounded really nice at times. It's been a season. It's been a difficult season. And yet, don't know if you remember, it wasn't that long ago that Brandy had a word about, you know, in order for us to move forward, we got to stop focusing on what's behind. That was a good opening. It was actually just an opening. It was this, we can't go forward if we're always looking at what's behind. And then Pastor Rod last week brought another very prophetic and powerful word about, you know, we need, it's a season of new wineskins. If you want to go where God's calling, you need a new wineskin. And if we're always looking, and he said it this way, he said, if we're looking for a reason and a why, or we want vindication, we're always going to be stuck in this place. For a long time, I feel like I've been kind of spinning my wheels, stuck in that place. I don't know, anybody else ask why over the last 3 years? Okay, I see some head shaking. That's good. I've asked a lot of whys. And it's not just about COVID and different things. I've seen and heard people that I know that have passed away and just things that have rocked me and I've questioned. I'm like, what is going on? And yet I've begun to realize that when my focus turns to back there, I can't really move forward. And so over Brandy's word, and Sean had a word beginning closer to summer about this thing about it's time to move on. It's kind of like the season that we're in, right? It's one of those seasons where you walk out the door. You're not sure when you walk out the door if you should have shorts on or a jacket. And we've kind of been in that season, right? You're like, okay, which season are we in? But I know that the new season's coming. A new season is upon us. You know, I shared a couple weeks ago, probably about a month now, this was a season that I was in. Man, I love, there's so much in this Bible. So much in this Bible, and so much. I read through this today. This is my very first journal as a youth pastor, and some of the cool things that God spoke and what I was going through and talking to God about. And I love this past season. But it's interesting that when you're going through seasons, it's easy to go back and look at this season instead of looking where God wants you to go. So at the same time I have all that, I have a binder full of promises from God yet to be fulfilled. This is the promised land. This is things that God has promised. And I'm going to read some of them in a few minutes. But it's things that God has promised. And so I want to share it this way, that I feel like we are really at that Jordan River. And man, it'd be like, can we just kind of stay by the tropical plants? Can we really just stay by the tropical plants? But here's the thing. If we stay here, who may not be sitting here 20 years from now? Because Rod started with this beautiful thing about somebody led you guys to the Lord. And your whole family now serves the Lord because you got led to the Lord. And if that person wouldn't have led them to the Lord, what would Rod be doing right now? Wouldn't be married to Karen because he met Karen at Bible college. You know, the four kids wouldn't be here. Like, can you see the impact generationally which begins to happen? You know, I look at, you know, you got Judy and Sam over here. Like, they're married, they have kids, and that's just one of many people. So I think, Lord, we don't want to stay if you're calling us to move. You're all wondering, like, are we moving buildings? What is going on? I love it. I believe the next, I'm going to start sharing. Adventure. How many love an adventure? The right kind. The right kind. Here's the reality, though. When you go on an adventure, you don't always know what's going to happen, right? Like, rock climbing is an adventure. But there may be times you slip a little bit, and, you know, it's like, oh, I didn't expect. Okay, I'm back. So it's part of the adventure. God wants to take us on an adventure. But here's the thing. He wants to take us on an adventure, not really for us, although it's going to be awesome. It's really for those that are not here. That he wants us to go on an adventure. How many of you know somebody that needs Jesus? Amen. We all know somebody. We could say it this way. How many know somebody right now that is desperate for hope? And Jesus really is the answer. They just don't know it yet. Yeah. God's calling us on an adventure. So I want to share a video with you because there's some changes that we're making. This is something that I've been holding on to for a long time. I have a prophetic word I'll share right after, but why? I felt like doing this a long time ago, and then COVID hit, and I'm like, whoa, this is not the time, but I still didn't have direction. And like I said, we've had breadcrumbs leading us here. And so further ado, we're going to play the video.
For thousands of years, mankind has been drawn to seek adventure, to journey into the unknown, and to take steps and sometimes leaps of faith. Abraham was called out of his land. Moses climbed the mountain to receive the blueprint for the tabernacle and the law, and the disciples stepped into a brand new covenant, demonstrating that a new journey always needs an elevation of faith and a heart for adventure. The world is in a state of confusion and despair. Foundations have been torn down, and people are experiencing extreme levels of stress and anxiety on a regular basis. Society is ill-equipped to face the future and unaware of how to walk with Jesus and to climb to greater heights. Faith needs to be restored. Beliefs need to be elevated. Wisdom, understanding, and hope need to become an anchor once again. The need for equipping has never been greater. But God has an answer. This moment in time does not surprise him, take him off guard, or stress him. From the beginning of time, he had an answer, his son. He also had a plan to release hope into every facet of society. He calls these people his ambassadors. These are sons and daughters who pursue him and are empowered to release his hope to those around him. We are those people, and it's time for us to be equipped like never before to be the answer for a desperate world. Are you ready to have your beliefs elevated? Are you ready to see the broken healed? Are you ready to release hope? Welcome to Ascent Church. A home, a family, and a church where we desire to see people equipped to pursue God and release hope. Are you ready for an adventure?
Yes, we're changing the name. It's like, do I clap? Do I not clap? Here we go. We already got some merch. We got merch. I want to read a prophetic word. I'm going to read several prophetic words. As far as I know, and I tried to confirm this, this is actually one of the last prophetic words that we received. It was Annie Byrne. She came, and it was the last one before we hit COVID and kind of everything got locked down. So this would be a prophetic word from an outside guest. And she spoke this. There will be rumors about this place that when you walk through the doors, your life will never be the same. Can we just get excited about that? And she said this, and it's almost like we could have heard it and just, whew. It says, thank you that you are changing the signs over this house. You are changing the branding over this house. You are changing the logos over this house. You are changing the color scheme over this house, the look, the aesthetic, the way the house is presented. This is the changing of a season over this house. We bless the soil. We bless the ground. We bless the people that are here. And it's, you know, I forgot about that. It's like I remembered it. She said it. I kind of went, what? And then you got your merch on. Chris has got her merch on. There we go. It's like we heard it and I heard it and I just, you know, you move on and then I started to think about it and then COVID hit and you forget about it. And I felt like recently and even it actually started Pastor Claude one day, he just walked up to me and he said, so when you changing the name? It's about 2 years ago. I said, what? He just kind of said it and walked away. And I'm like, as he does. Actually, I want to let you know, too, prayer is actually really safe this week because Claude is gone. So if anybody's going to give you the mic and be awkward, that would be Claude, not us. So Claude is gone. So I began to pray about it, and I had no direction. I just kept praying. I knew the season was coming, but I'm like, Lord, I don't know the name. And I mentioned it this summer at the very beginning to my mom. And of course, this it's hard when you name something. I may have to go through this many years down the road. I hope not, but it's like it's hard when a season changes. And for my mom, it was like, whoa, you know, and understandably. She just began to ponder it. And as I began to pray into it, the Lord began to drop these breadcrumbs. We have had over the last, Josh, you'd have to figure it out, probably what, 5 years we've had Vision Sunday. We've had this mountain in the background just because it aesthetically talked about climbing higher, about going somewhere that we've never been, this adventure. And I thought, you know, that's cool. I've never thought anything of it. I'll shock you right now, but I have a tattoo. Somebody's good for you. I know, we're pretty free here. But it's interesting. I'll share this. I have a tattoo that says, be strong and courageous out of Joshua. Because I found myself at times looking and I needed to remind myself, Jay, this is a season to be strong and courageous. And it was for me. It had nothing to do with anybody else. It was like for me. And then the day I was designing it, I had this other thing designed. And literally the day of, I saw a mountain and it was like it leapt in my spirit and I knew I needed to put a mountain there. It was like this adventure, this journey, this, you know, be strong and courageous. And so I got that tattooed. It's like everywhere I looked, it was this idea of going on an adventure with God. And the word ascent means to, it literally means the route up a mountain, the route up a difficult path. You think of Everest, they often take the north ascent or the west ascent, but it's literally when you go, hey, this is the way up. And I want to let you know, as I watched that video, I thought, Lord, I want to spend the next 15 years of my life teaching people the way up the mountain. Because we live in a society where, like we started with, I'm so blessed that my parents put something inside of me that we could put something inside of our kids. But there are so many things right now that are not, the foundations are not being placed into people. And so we are so adventurous and wanting to go, Lord, how do we go after the lost? How do we go after those, and not even saying the lost, maybe a better way to say it, I've heard this phrase before, those that are far from God. And how do we begin to love on them to the point where they can get here and we can begin to go, listen, there is a way up. I know you feel like you're down here, but there is a way up. So interesting, Pastor Rod, you would appreciate this. I was looking at different words. I have never known that when they got to the Jordan River, do you know what the word Jordan means? It means descending. They got to a place where they had to cross a river that was descending so they can literally go forward and ascend. And I feel like we're at a place right now, you know, you may say, what, just a name change, is that all? A name change is huge because it begins to dictate the next years. I want to share with you, you know, if you remember, how many remember our three words? Counter, empower, and impact. We prayed about this. I prayed about this for a long time, talked to our staff about it. And as we had the word ascent, this understanding of going upward, moving forward, obstacles are in the way, but we are just going to keep pressing in. We are going to find the path, and then we are going to teach people. That's the whole idea of walking in the way of Jesus. We want to teach people, this is how you walk in the way of Jesus. We want to teach people, we may not always be perfect, but man, we are pursuing God. Amen. We looked at the three words, and we felt like because it's a season change, we also needed to have words that went along with that season change, but were still true to what we are trying to say. We want people to encounter God. We want people to be empowered to go out. We want people to impact their communities. But one of the things we began to realize, that as we picked those words and discussing it, we began to realize that those words can actually put the onus on us more than the onus on the people that come in. So we felt like it was a season change. Go ahead. So Ascend Church is about pursuing God, equipping people, and releasing hope. And I honestly believe those three phrases will dictate the next years ahead of us. I'm not going to put a number on it because I don't know. I don't know if it's 10, 20, or 100 years. But I truly believe in my heart, as does Pastor Rod, if we can do those three well, we will change the people around us. And how many know that people that are changed change things? You know, a lot of times we want to go out and we want to change things. We're horrified of what's going on and we're seeing things change and we want to maybe become the lawmakers. And there's nothing wrong with that per se. But I'm telling you right now, unless hearts change, they don't want it to change. But when hearts change, they want things to change. See, it's exactly what's happening right now. In society, we have moved from a Christian nation to a post-Christian nation. The hearts of the people have changed, so they're demanding change. But when people get set free, they demand or want change. Amen? You guys still with me? It's quiet in here. So I want to explain these three. Pursuing God. Pursuing God is something that I realize we can give you an encounter, but we can only teach and equip you how to pursue God. You get to make the choice what you do with it, right? Come on, right? Amen. We want to equip people. We're always going to go back to that word in the middle. Equip people to pursue God. Equip people to release hope. Equip people to pursue God. Our desire as we move forward is that we want to do exactly what Ephesians says. We want to equip the saints for the working of the ministry. And we want to go, Lord, how do we in this next season be concerned within here, but be really more concerned about how do we reach people out there? That should receive an amen. Because it's not enough to come to church every Sunday, sing songs, and be excited about God if we don't see people getting saved. I am dreaming. Actually, I felt like today, I was going to say it to Brandy in the tank and just didn't feel it was the right time, but I felt like saying, you know, the day will come where we'll miss what we had today. In the sense, we had these long, beautiful opportunities. We had three people to water baptize. So we could have, you know, mom and dad are part of the team here, so they got to pray over Micah. We could just extend it. There was no problem. But the day will come. The day will come where we have 20 people waiting to get baptized. Amen? And it's going to be like, man, I wish we had that day where we could spend all the time in the world. But that's that season, and this is this season. Because I believe when we are equipped in a new way to go out, to begin to release hope, I'm telling you, I've seen it in my friends, or my kids' friends. There's a world that may not understand God, but they are also not understanding the world. And they are beginning to go, like, is there something different? Can you, like, I believe the day is going to come where our conversations with kids that we have or people that come to our table, it's just going to naturally slide into talking about God because they're so desperate. Not because the world is, oh, it's done. No, it's just simply because the world is in the state that it's in and people desperately need hope. I believe another renewal is coming. I don't believe it's the charismatic renewal. That was for that season. But I believe another renewal is coming in us so we can see people get hope. Amen. And so we want to train people. We want to, as a church, pursue God. But then as a church, we want to train you to know how to pursue God. And then we want to train you to teach people how to pursue God. Because the thing is that we want to equip you for that. It's the working of the ministry. And then we have equipping people. We've been doing that. And let me read a few prophetic words, including this one, Pastor Rod. If I can find it in my 8 pages of notes. Somewhere. This was Drew Neal. He said this over this building, a training and launching center for a prophetic company and a prophetic tribe. How many know that Pastor Rod has equipped many in this house to be healthy and prophetic? And so when I see this over here happening and people are prophesying over these people that are getting water baptized, it just brings delight because I know Pastor Rod's trained them and it's a very safe thing. We need more of that. It's interesting, this ascent, the name that we've gone after of climbing higher. And I began to do a bit of experimentation as I would go out and I would talk to people just to see what their reaction would be. You know, Antioch was a wonderful name in the season, but Antioch was really important to us. For a lot of people that don't read the Bible, they didn't understand it. And so I wanted to make sure the word that I picked would have some connotation for them, not Bible, but just that they would grab something. So they'd always think of, you know, climbing higher, or moving up, you know, things like that. But I'll tell you that the doors that have opened just simply by sharing the name have been incredible. I'm going to tie this into the prophetic because I sat with this young lady. Not, I didn't sit. She was my waitress. I said, if they're bubbly and happy, I'm going to talk to them about it because I want to see, you know, what their reactions are. And so sure enough, she was just one of these sweet girls and full of energy. And so I showed her. I said, what do you think of this? What's your first thoughts? And she started to talk about it. And then she said, you know, I used to go to church. And she started to share. And at some point she said, I'm going to come to this church. I got to get back with God. And part of what it was prophetic hope as I was sharing and encouraging her. Even looking at her tattoo, she had scripture at one point tattooed on her arm. I'm like, God, you've got her number. You just used me through this method to get to her heart. That's pretty cool. And the last thing as we equip, releasing hope. You've heard me begin to say this term. I sat in the prayer room one day and intercession was going on. And I kept saying, Lord, what is this third thing? We want to pursue God. We want to equip people. And I turned to Isaiah 61. And as I read what Jesus came to do about Jesus came to set the captives free. He came to bring, let's actually turn there. We can read it together. By the way, this is a Bible that I'm putting away because it's the new season. For me, it's like, Lord, we're on a new journey. Isaiah 61, going to begin to close. We get to say begin, which means that we're not done. Isaiah 61 says, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy of mourning for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And as I sat in the prayer room, I thought, Lord, how do we put that into words? Because that's what you've called us to do. And I heard him say, it's called releasing hope. Because man, if you are in captivity and get set free, you've just had hope. Somebody's released hope to you. If you're mourning, if you're in depression, if you're in anxiety and somebody comes and lays hands on you and you feel the peace of God for the first time, maybe ever in your life, how many want to know that's releasing hope to someone? And I felt like that word, that phrase was the wording that would help people go, listen, because we used to say impact. Impact how? Well, I want to let you know now, impact through releasing hope. We want to release hope wherever we go. You guys with me? Let me share a few more prophetic words. I'm going to begin to close. Some of you may have never heard these words before. This is Annie Byrne. God is shifting some things in this house, and he's getting ready to do something new and different. There are 5 walking generations on the planet right now, and I heard the Lord saying, don't get weary in doing good. The Lord is getting ready to repay this church for its obedience in its hard season, but he's saying to you, church, do not grow weary in doing good. How many realize that there is a part of what's happening outside is a repayment, and the roof is God coming in and changing things? Like, there is change happening. This is Jamie Galloway. I see this thing that God is establishing here. There is something that he is beginning to build, and it's a place for people to be raised up, for the next generation to be raised up, for those who would literally have a heart, not just for ministry, but for business in this region, even for classes in this region, for school and education in this region. You're going to host a place and a space for people to come in and dream with you. You're going to be able to help them like a coach and coach them into their callings. And I see the next generation of people being raised up. And I saw mothers and fathers in this house actually pouring in and investing in and saying to the next generation, come up higher. We don't want you to be put out. We don't want you to be minimized. We want you to make sure you are operating in the thing that God has put on your heart as a son and as a daughter. Man, if that doesn't get us excited, he's literally saying they're going to come in and we're going to train them up. We're going to equip people. Here's what I know. I could read more, but here's what I know. For the last 4 years, I feel like I've been sitting by that grove. And part of me is like, oh, I like this grove. I really like the tropics. And the trees are tropical. But I also know I can't watch my kids' generations fall apart. I could just, I'll tell you, I've wavered. I'm like, Lord, just, you know, I could, some nice places to retire. I don't really have the money to retire, but I could dream about it. And when you want to run because it's been hard, it's exciting to want to run. The more my kids have their friends over, I thought, that's not fair. It's not fair also to come into this church on Sunday and not make an impact outside of these four walls. So I thought, Lord, I have to cross this Jordan because I can't stay. We have to cross the Jordan. We have to become a church again that looks around and sees hopelessness, but doesn't get discouraged. We actually get full of excitement because we know that we can make a difference. Amen. That we can take people, we can ascend, we can take them to a place where there is a better way. I feel like the Lord has brought such unity to us that it was the time that we can do this, but I just know we've got to move forward. Just as my mom, this is the thing I go back to, that it's like it was religion. It was all these things. They had a cross. There was no choice unless they went backwards. But we're at a different spot. We're like, well, we can kind of stay here, can't we? You know, church is good. Worship's good. We're paying our bills. The parking lot's going to be done. The ceiling, you know, it's not leaking. We could just stay in the grove. But who won't be sitting here years from now because we stayed in the grove? You know, what person will not be radically changed and their family line on top of that if we don't cross this river? It's not just a name change. It's actually a season change. It's not just a name change. It's a season change. And it is going, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done behind us. Oh, Lord, I thank you for the conferences, and I thank you for all these things, the people that have come and some that have gone. I thank you. But if I keep looking backwards, I'm going to miss what's forward. And so today, we have to. Actually, one of the things that they did was they crossed the river. The priest stepped in out of faith, this leap of faith, this step of faith. And when they put their feet on the ground, it wasn't let's let the waters part and then we step in. Didn't work that way. They actually had to step in and then the waters parted. But it's interesting, after all the Israelites went through, that they had 12 people from each one from each tribe go, and they put remembrance stones of what God had done. And I say, like, I have phenomenal memories of what God has done. But how many know that they could camp there or they could go into what was next? Listen. This Bible, the old part and the new part, is because they chose to go into the next. It would have ended at Joshua if he said, no, I camp out here. Seriously, that's a very small Bible. Let's see here. Deuteronomy. Oh, there we go. Joshua. That's it. But aren't you thankful that the rest of this happened? And aren't you thankful that because of this, but it's also the new covenant, which means, by the way, we wouldn't have been in part of this if Joshua wouldn't have moved forward because there'd be no new covenant. All this, I'm sure God would have had a way around it. But my point is this. Joshua chose not to stay in the place of comfort. I want to challenge us. Ascent. See, I want to put that mountain before you every time that you see our church, that you go, first of all, I know there's obstacles, but my God's bigger. Second of all, there are people that need to climb that mountain with us. Pastor Gary said it. I don't even know if you realized that I was going to go there. Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration. That word transfiguration is used 4 times in the entire Bible. 2 times in the exact same, it was Matthew and Mark. And then once in Romans where it says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be renewed by the transforming of your mind. That transforming is the same as transfiguration. So that whole scripture is literally about, he took them up to the mountain to go, this is what's going to happen to you after I resurrect. And so our job is to take people up to the mountain to see them transformed, to help them to become a part of that transformation. So let me give you some what ifs, church. You ready? What if we said yes to climbing the mountain set before us? If we said yes to helping people find the ascent, the route up the mountain to walk with Jesus and to be healed, set free, and made whole? What if we decided today to say yes to become hope ambassadors, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters who will love people back to complete health? What if in the coming days we all became better equipped to bring and release hope into every area our feet go, our offices, our families, our schools, and our salons? What if we begin to see those people that have tasted the hope of Jesus begin to come through the doors of not just a church, but a hospital, a training center, and a fuel station where they are healed, filled, and trained? What if we need to fill the baptismal tank monthly because new people, not just from church rotation, going from church to church, but new people are coming to the church, deciding to walk with Jesus, and choosing to get water baptized? What if we begin to see youth and young adults who are so far from God but desperate for answers begin to walk through these doors because they've heard rumors that you can come into this place confused and hurting, but you can find love, hope, and family. And this family will love you back to health. And they will invite you into their life to be a son or daughter that you can walk with them. What if, church, we said yes today? And what if we bless the season behind us, but now begin to look forward to the season that's in front of us? Just to be so grateful for what was, but so excited for what is. Because I can tell you, Pastor Gary is excited. When I was very surprised when I shared the first time I shared it with her, this is what I'm praying about. And she said, I love it. I love it. She got excited about it. She was texting me after. I'm so excited for you, Jay. This is it. Whew. As I met with the board members, they kept saying the same thing. And you'd be honored by this. They would say, how does your pastor, your mom feel about this? I'd say, she's good. She really appreciates it. Did you hear from God? Yes, let's do this. So church, I want to invite you into an adventure. You may be going, what does it look like? Well, that's what we're going to begin to walk through. How are you changing things? Well, that's what we're going to be looking at. But all I know is that this season, you know, luckily our river is purple and a little smaller. But this season is a crossing over. And it really is going, I'm not looking behind anymore. I'm thankful for that season, but I am looking forward with excitement and adventure. The very word equipping means to literally get the gear on needed for the next season. That's a word. That's what it means. One of the definitions. I'm like, that is so cool. So why don't you stand? Today, I'd be surprised if you didn't say something.
I know it's unorthodox to in the middle of a sermon, but this is a season for all of us, Pastor Jay. I know that you have spent time, much time with God, but this isn't a this isn't about the young people, about the middle-aged people, about the older people. This is about all of us. So can I declare something and give you a challenge here? That I know that in my life this happened since we've been doing this, that a choice had to be made, that I will not say this is for somebody else. I will not say this is for another generation. I will not say let somebody younger come and do this. I will not say let somebody older come and do this. I will say I am perfectly fit. And I am right now. I am part of the right now. I was born and was here right now to be a part of this. We declare that we are a people who pursue God with everything that we have. We declare that we are a people that equip one another and we receive equipping and we give equipping. But we are evermore, I declare that we are a people that release hope every single place we go. And I don't have to be here saying, but I feel like my tank is half empty, right? Come on, and we can go, well, that must be for someone else because I went through all of this. How can this be about me? What do I have to share? This is all we have to do. Here I am, Lord. I'm willing to stop asking the why. I'm willing to put this behind me. And I am willing to cross in. And I tell you, when we cross into the next, it's about, once again, Pastor Jay going, here I am. Here I am at the grocery store. Here I am at my workplace. You know what I'm saying? It's feel like we were worn out in the last season from that. Anybody else there? This is about stopping somebody on the street that you see because the Holy Spirit says that person needs a word of life from you. This is the pathway. This is the ascent. But this is not, if he does this on his own, he will, I'm not going to say those words, but he will be, it's just not a good thing. I don't want to be worn out. I want to walk with people. Amen? I don't know if that came across properly in that, but we, all of us, this is every one of us. And this last week has been this open door flashing to me constantly. And I'm telling you, Jesus has kicked the door wide open in that vision. There is, in fact, no door on the hinges anymore. And there is nothing but opportunity. But hear me now, that opportunity is got like a click on it. It's click, click, click. In other words, that it's time for us to step into that, step through that door, and begin to see what God is about to do with everything.
Amen. Rod, it was May of last year. We'd just gotten back. Family went on a vacation. My mom and dad went to Vegas and went to see Grand Canyon and all that. And it's so funny that I found the prophetic words, look at my prophetic words, because I came back. I'm just being real the season I've been in. It's been a journey. And I remember being at the resort that we were at, or the hotel, and I kept looking at these rocks that I realized halfway through, these are man-made, like somebody made these rocks. And I started to think, this is really cool. I can do this. Maybe this could be a career. I did say it. I come back, and our first night back, it's a Wednesday night, and man, you are rip-roaring. You're prophesying over everyone. You call me up, and I'm like, I'm literally dreaming about how I can make rocks. This could be a career choice. And you start prophesying over the next 3 years, 7 months, and something, I have to go back and look. And then at the very end, you say, I see people coming in and they are going to become rocks. And I'm like, dang it. You took my dream of another career. You twisted it, the Lord, and you made it into the same job I'm doing. But it really was, the Lord wants to take people and build them into solid rocks. And so I'm going to say it this way. There's a lot of stuff over the last 32 years. Wonderful, but also painful. Maybe Becca, would you mind coming up and playing for a second? I paused on this for a long time because I knew that I had to say yes, that it wasn't going to cut it to build rocks in Vegas or any other thing that I thought about doing. But I don't know about you. There's probably things that you have to let go of. You know, it may be here. It may be from other moments in your life. You know, maybe it's confusion and things that, you know, it rocked me when Benny passed away, Bill Johnson's wife. I spent hours asking the Lord why. I've never met the woman, probably in passing, but just questions. And I can't even imagine what it must have been like for Bill Johnson to pursue healing and see so many people healed, but not to see his own wife healed. And I listened to him get up and he says, I know he's got questions, but he says, I can't stop going forward. I can't live backwards. So I'm asking the Lord for that kind of courage. Because we may have those bumps in the road. And I was mentioning to Connie today, you know, Connie's here because of a very difficult time when your aunt, Susan, she passed away from the car accident several years ago, and we were all baffled by this moment. And yet I thought today, Lord, you took something so devastating and you made beauty from ashes. Because I didn't know Connie. I might have met you once, maybe. I didn't know Connie at all, and Connie just got baptized. Like, those are the stories that I want to hear about. Where people come in devastated and they were like, did you see Joe? Oh, Joe used to be like you. He was addicted. He was broken. His marriage was a wreck. But let me teach. Joe's actually teaching a course right now. He's been set free. He's been made whole. Like, don't we want those stories? So we're at that Jordan. It's either descend or ascend. So whatever it is for you, I just feel like we need to take a moment. Just say, Lord, I got to let go. We've been doing it probably all summer. But I know for me, I just got to let go. So just take a second. And just say, Lord, is there anything I need to let go of? These things, good, bad, ugly, we just let them go. We release them into your hands. Lord, I ask that you begin to heal every heart here if they're still wounding from it. But Lord, we just declare today we let it go. To step into the next, we let it go. Thank you for the past seasons that were so wonderful and rich. But Lord, you're asking us to step into the next. Jordan River at that time of the year. It was harvest. So I go back to that grove. It was harvest, meaning it was the season where those flowers were in bloom. They had to leave. They get to the Jordan River, which is in flood season. And I can only imagine, because they had the priest carrying the ark, because they said, follow the ark. We've not been this way before. Follow the ark. And I can imagine Joshua saying, all right, guys, like this is, have you ever been to Niagara Falls and the water is rushing by? If you've ever seen that, like, I'm just marvel how much water is going by at the Niagara Falls. I picture it like, and they're like, you want us to do what? Yep, priest, step in. Which is actually very interesting because I've had to step in first. But they had to literally go, okay, I'm trusting and I'm going to step in. And as soon as they step forward, it says that the waters mounded up so they could walk on dry ground. So today is a step of faith. It's an adventure. Adventures need faith. So will you take a step with me? I heard one amen. Praise the Lord. I'll be like Bill Johnson. I've got one. Whatever, you guys take a step of faith with me. Why don't you take a step with me then? Wait, hold, okay, dude. Can we just on the count of three try to take a step if you're with me? And be like, you know what, Lord, I'm leaving that behind. Cool thing is it lets the water wash away. But I'm going to take a step forward on the count of three. One, two, three. Let's go. Woo! So, Lord, we just say, whatever you have for us, the next season that you have for us, we just say yes. Can you say yes? We say yes. And, Lord, we don't know what's on the other side of this Jordan, but we do know that you're calling us to it. And I thank you for this church. I thank you for the unity that we carry. I thank you, it's a people that love each other. And so we say yes to the next. We put our hand to the plow. We begin to say, we will build what you call us to build. We will do what you call us to do, what you want us to do. But we just today, we say yes, yes, yes. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.